This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amma ba'd. There's a beautiful narration in which the Prophet ﷺ visits one of his companions, one of his closest disciples, as he is feeling extremely sick. His name is Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. This narration is in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, and I wanted to share this with you all and highlight some benefits, some points of benefits from this incident in light of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. This incident, before I mention it, happened after the Prophet ﷺ had made his Hajj, Hajjatul Wada'a, which was in the last year of his life. And as many of us might know, the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca. He was born in Mecca, he was raised in Mecca. Then he had to leave Mecca to go to Medina, and that's where he established himself. But by the will of Allah and by the help of Allah, the people of Mecca they entered into Islam after the incident of Fath Mecca, the opening of the conquest of Mecca. So after that happened, a couple of years after that, the Prophet ﷺ made his Hajj, the only Hajj he made in his life, and then he returned back to Medina. And that's where he passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. So, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas was one of the people who was from Mecca, born and raised in Mecca, just like the Prophet ﷺ, then went to Medina with the Prophet, migrating to Medina, came back for the Hajj, and after the Hajj fell extremely sick. To the point there he said that عادني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع من وجع أشفيت منه على الموت. He said the messenger came to visit me when I was sick after the حجة الوداع from a sickness that أشفيت منه على الموت. I felt that I was going to die after that. That was a sickness that I felt would take my life. So Sa'ad is in, that's the context of the story. So Sa'ad says to the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Ya Rasulullah, بلغني ما ترى من الوجع وأنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنة لي واحدة أفأتصدق بثلثي مالي. He says, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, you see the situation that I'm in. You see that I'm very sick and I might die. And I have a lot of money. And I don't have that many people who are going to inherit from me. There's only one daughter that I have who is going to outlive me. What he's trying to say is that she doesn't need that much money. Okay? Can I give away 2/3 of my wealth? ثُلُثَي مَالِي. قَالَ لَا. The Messenger of Allah said, no, you cannot donate 2/3 of your inheritance. قُلْتُ أَفَأَتَصَدَّقُ بِشَطْرِهِ. I said, can I give away half of my inheritance as charity? قَالَ لَا. The Prophet said, no. الثُلُث وَالثُلُثُ كَثِيرٌ. You can give away a third as a charity, a third of your inheritance as charity, and a third is a lot. The Prophet then said to him, إِنَّكَ أَن تَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَن تَذَرَهُمْ عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. He said to him, explaining why. What is the wisdom behind the hukum? What is the wisdom behind the ruling? He's explaining this to Sa'ad. He says the reason is, if you were to leave your inheritors, your kids who are going to live on after you, if you leave them in a state of self-sufficiency, that is better than you leave them in a state of dependency. عَالَةً يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ. يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ is from the word kaf, which is the palm of the hand. That's a gesture that a person would make when they're begging for money. So he's explaining, it's better you leave them self-sufficient, they have enough to take care of their needs, they have enough to pay the bills. That's better than you leave them dependent on other people's charity. وَلَسْتَ تُنْفِقُ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ بِهَا حَتَّى اللُّقْمَةُ تَجْعَلُهَا فِي امْرَأَتِكَ. And moreover, every penny, every little amount of money that you spend, nafaqa is just anything you spend. We use the word, or we use the phrase penny because that's the smallest amount you can spend. any small amount, the least you can imagine, that you spend on your family, that is something that counts as an act of charity. It counts as an act of charity. If you spend that on your family, it's as if you have given it to somebody who is in need of charity. Not that your family is somehow recipients of sadaqah. That's not what the Prophet is saying. The Prophet is saying you taking care of your family is equivalent to you giving charity to somebody else. So you don't have to look for rewards necessarily outside. That's not the only way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Helping others is great, but it starts at home first. Taking care of the family starts first. And that's what he started to tell him. You taking care of your inheritors is just as good. Even to the point, this is the example that he gave, حَتَّى لُقْمَةُ تَجْعَلُهَا فِي فِمْرَأَتِكَ. Even the morsel of food that you put in your wife's mouth, even that counts as an act of worship. Again, the example the Prophet is giving is, this is an obligation. You're supposed to provide for your family. You're supposed to put food on the table. That's not the responsibility of the woman, that's the responsibility of the man. But even you taking care of your responsibilities, that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward greatly. Just like you giving charity to somebody who needs that help. So the Prophet tells him, you can't do this. You can't give away 2/3 of your wealth. You can't give away 1/2 of your wealth. You can only give away 1/3. But don't worry. Whatever you leave behind for your family, that also counts as charity. Okay? Whatever you leave behind for your inheritors, that counts as charity as well. And that's better actually than you leave them poor and dependent. Sa'ad asked the Prophet afterwards, he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أُخَلَّفُ بَعْدَ أَصْحَابِي. He said, I'm gonna stay behind here after my friends. He's a little worried, radiallahu anhu. Okay? Imam An-Nawawi explains this statement of Sa'ad. He says, Sa'ad is worried that he went from Makkah to Medina, made the migration. Now, he's afraid that the Prophet and his companions are going to go back from Makkah to Medina, because they came back for Hajj, and now they will go back. But Sa'ad, who's so sick, will end up staying behind in Makkah. So he thinks, or he's feeling, that his sacrifice of the migration will not count. He's afraid of that. The sacrifice he made for the sake of Allah, the migration that he made, would not count because he ended up staying in Makkah. Okay? He's afraid of that. So he's asking the Prophet. The Prophet said, إِنَّكَ لَن تُخَلَّفَ فَتَعْمَلَ عَمَلًا تَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا زَدَّ بِهِ دَرَجَةً وَرِفْعَةً. He said, even if you were to stay behind and you can't go back to Medina, any good deed you do is going to raise you ranks in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes. Your sacrifices are not going to go to waste. Your situation is understandable. Okay, you're not staying here because you need to, you know, make money in Makkah or something. You're not staying here for other interests. You're staying back perhaps because you're sick. You think you're going to die, so you're going to stay here. Your sacrifices are not going to be invalidated. Anything good you do, even afterwards, is going to count as a great deed for you. And then the Prophet foreshadowed something. He says, وَلَعَلَّكَ تُخَلَّفْ حَتَّى يُنْفَعَ بِكَ أَقْوَامٌ وَيُضَرَّ بِكَ آخَرُونَ. And perhaps you will live long, and many people will be benefited by your presence, and many might be harmed by you. Allahumma amdi li ashabi hijratahum wa la taruddahum ala aqabihim. And the Prophet concluded by making a dua that, O Allah, my companions, their sacrifices make them last. Their hijrah, their sacrifices make them lasting, and don't nullify them. Don't nullify their efforts. That's the story we have in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Okay? A very beautiful glimpse of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Much to learn from this. Much things that we can extrapolate from this beautiful incident of the Prophet's life. Firstly, we see the Prophet ﷺ visiting Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Okay? And we see this, he's doing this on his personal time. It's not like, you know, his job is to lead the salah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Because he's the imam. His job is to be the leader of the state, because he is the the head of state. That's his job, even though he didn't get paid for it, but that was his role. This was on his personal time, going to see somebody who's sick. And what this shows is that as part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, what he wanted us to emulate is us sacrificing our personal time, our personal conveniences, for the sake of others. To make others happy. To lift up other people's spirits. That is an extremely critical part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. To the point actually, but this is one incident of Sa'd and the Prophet ﷺ. But you can, if you read the books of Sirah, the books of the history of the Prophet or the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, you would find that the Prophet ﷺ would often look around after a salah and would say, oh, where is this person? I don't see him in the congregation. And then there would be, someone would say, well, that person is sick, he wasn't feeling so well, so he couldn't make it for salah. And the Prophet ﷺ would then go to this person's house, would visit them, would make dua for them, would tell them, la ba'as tahuran inshallah, it's okay, you know, this is going to be, it's going to get better, this is a purification from Allah for you, make dua for them, uplift their spirits, and then go on his way. This was a habit, this was something he would do on a regular basis. This is not out of the ordinary. This one particular action, subhanAllah, but more importantly, what it represents is an extremely critical aspect of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Representing what? Representing that we have to take time out. We have to make time for others to make others happy. This goes back to also like, it goes back to what are we doing with our times? That question. What do we do with our time? It goes back to that question as well. Is it just that our time is for our own entertainment, we're too busy with it, we couldn't care less about others? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. I can't answer that for you. You have to ask that of yourself. But what we can learn from the sunnah of the Prophet is, he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being as important and as busy as he was, always made time for others. Always. To the point where ayat in Quran were revealed, instructing sahaba, that when you have dinner with the Prophet ﷺ, don't linger around afterwards. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَ فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُمْ. This really hurts the Prophet. He needs his personal time as well. But he's still shy to tell you. That's how open and accommodating and welcoming the Prophet ﷺ was. The people would just come to his house, have dinner with him. That's like the best night of their life. That's the night that they will tell their kids and grandkids about, that I had dinner with the Prophet ﷺ. But so much of that would happen, that ayat of Quran will reveal telling the Sahaba that you're welcome to come, but don't linger around afterwards. Respect his privacy a little bit as well. That's how welcoming he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's how open his doors were. So the question that comes back to us is, we're not that important. We're nowhere near as important as the Prophet ﷺ. We're not even as busy. Keep in mind, the Prophet ﷺ was the head of state. He was the final messenger of Allah. He was the leader of the community. He was a teacher of the community. He was fulfilling multiple roles. And yet he made time for others. So for us, who don't fulfill that many roles, we have to ask ourselves, what exactly are we doing with our time and our lives when we can't make time for others? This is a very important thing that we learn from the Sunnah of the Prophet. And you see, by the way, also when he goes to Sa'd, he is there to uplift his spirit. He's making dua for him. He's saying, you know what, perhaps you live long enough. And that happened. Sa'd radiallahu anhu did get cured. And he was the one that was, he was the commander of the army that conquered Persia. So many people benefited from his sacrifices. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ was there to uplift his spirits and make things or make him feel better for himself. So this is one beautiful lesson from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that we can learn, that we should think about implementing in our lives. How much of our lives are spent caring for others? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. We also see from this beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, this glimpse of his life, that the Prophet ﷺ would explain things to people. Okay? Sa'd said, I want to give away 2/3 of my money. The Prophet said, no, don't do that. Can I give away half? The Prophet said, don't do that. Can I give him a third? Yes, a third's enough. And then he goes on to explain why a third is enough. That it's better you leave your inheritors with money. It's better you leave them self-sufficient. It's better that they're not dependent on others. And anything you leave behind for your family is sadaqah. This is a beautiful way of communicating and talking about the religion. When we talk about Islam, when we talk about the Sharia, when we talk about how do we understand the reality of it and how do we implement it, the conversation can't be, well, this is how it is and just go and do it. And often case, that's how it ends up being when we are talking with our kids, for example. Like, I have this problem with my kids who want to celebrate Christmas. They're small, they're like grade one. So we always want to celebrate Christmas. And we always tell them, no, we can't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Eid. And we tell them why. Right? We tell them that Eid is the holiday of the Muslims. And we try, you know, this is a one-year-old or a grade one child, you know, seven-year-old kid, six-year-old kid. There's a limit to the intellect that they have. But what I always try with my kids is try to give them some reasoning why we're saying no to something. Okay? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. But those hard conversations is where we try to we have to really dive deep into our own understanding of Islam. And that's difficult. That makes you feel vulnerable. It's not a comfortable situation. Particularly kids who ask questions will make us uncomfortable. But that's the asl. That's the way things are supposed to be. The conversation has to be, this is why we do this, this is why we don't do it, and then we talk about it. You see, the Prophet ﷺ, even for something as small as your inheritance is this much, he's explaining it to Sa'd. He's like, this is why you're not supposed to leave, or this is why you're not supposed to give away most of your money in charity. This is a very important aspect of the religious discourse. The religious discourse, the way we talk about religion, it has to evolve, it has to get upgraded to come to the level that the Prophet ﷺ left it at. Return back to that level. And that was where we would talk about things in a manner without having any reservations, without feeling that we're going to be judged, and also explanations are provided. So this is a very beautiful thing you see from this incident of the Prophet ﷺ and Sa'd. قُلْ مَا تَسْمَعَنَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa ala amma ba'd. Well, last point I'd like to share with everybody with regards to this beautiful narration of the Prophet visiting Sa'd radiallahu anhu is the concern, the mindset of Sa'd. Here is his Habib who thinks he's about to die because he's really sick. Okay? But if you look at his life, he checks off all the boxes. He is told by name that you're going to paradise. He is one of the Ashara al-Mubashirin al-Jannah. He's one of the 10 companions of the Prophet ﷺ, promised paradise by name. Like the Prophet said, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, you are going to paradise. That is something only 10 of them were told by name. There was hints to others and whatnot, but by name, 10 of them. That was one of those 10 was Sa'ad. SubhanAllah. He made the migration. He was one of the earliest converts to Islam in Mecca. Before Umar radiallahu anhu, even before, if I remember correctly, Uthman radiallahu anhu. One of the earliest to accept Islam was Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. And he's been with the Prophet ﷺ from the very beginning. He made the migration to Medina. He participated in all the battles. Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, conquest of Makkah. Participated in Hajjatul Wada'a. Witnessed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Every single major incident, Sa'ad was right there. Yet he is worried that he hasn't done enough with his life. He's still worried that, you know, I don't think I've done enough. Can I give away 2/3 of my wealth? That's sadaqah. This mindset, brothers and sisters, that's what kept the Sahaba going. That's why they were told, you're going to paradise, and they didn't slow down. It's not like they're like, ah, alhamdulillah, I'm going to paradise, let me go sleep and miss Fajr. It actually incentivized them and motivated them even more. That is the mindset that they lived with and died with. The question for us is, who don't have any guarantees, none of us have any guarantees whatsoever, why are we so lackadaisical about our Islam? Why aren't we so concerned about our legacy when we die? What are we leaving behind? These are questions that should really keep us up at night, or at least force us into action in the day. These are the things that concern the Sahaba, who had all the guarantees, who had made all the sacrifices, who had participated in all the battles, just made Hajj. After Hajj, sins are all forgiven. The slate is wiped clean. SubhanAllah. Still is concerned that, have I done enough in my life? This is something that we have to ask ourselves. What are we doing with our lives? Does it mean that we quit everything and somehow try to find something to do that, you know, is serving like the Muslims directly? That's not the intent. As we see from the Prophet ﷺ telling Sa'ad, you don't have to give away your money. You can spend your money on your family. And that's good. That's an act of charity. Even providing for just the basic obligations is an act of charity as well. It's an act of worship as well. It's the mindset. It's the mindset. If I'm doing this, me taking care of my family for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's an act of worship. If I'm just doing it because that's just the way things are, then it's not an act of worship. If I was to look at every single thing that I'm doing as a way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to go to work because I have to earn money, and that inshallah is going to be something that Allah will be happy with, that intention will make it an act of worship. I try to take my time and remove from it as much junk as I can. That's an act of worship because I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. I try to add in my free time as much as I can, good stuff. As much as I can. That's an act of worship. It's as much as we can do. It's about trying, it's about the mindset. And that's what the Sahaba had, radiallahu anhu. And that's what I hope that from there, this one incident from Sa'ad, we could take away as well. Perhaps we could also look at our lives and evaluate where we stand and how we have to recalibrate. And this is the new year, perhaps a new year resolution that will be a good one, inshallah. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement it in our lives. I ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to learn and implement. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil ladhi a'lam wa yahdi. Send your prayers and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and allow us to live and die like him, and resurrect us in his company on the day of judgment, and give us a drink from his pond on the day of judgment, ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Our Master, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and save us in the fire of hell. Peace.
الله أكبر الله